Good morning, church family. It is kind of a lazy Sabbath morning, isn't it? I see a lot of yawning out there. What is it? Something about the fog, or I don't know what it is, but maybe it's the fall weather. I don't know, but it's wonderful to be here. It is indeed a beautiful Sabbath. Before I begin this morning, I want to first of all just thank the worship team for leading us in a very beautiful worship experience this morning. Thank you so much for drawing our hearts closer to God and for allowing the Holy Spirit to use you as you led us in a beautiful worship experience. You may have noticed in the bulletin board in the lobby a little poster. It's been there for a number of weeks. It brings your attention to something that we know here at Point Loma is extremely important, and that is prayer. If you look in your bulletins, just open up your bulletin there on the left-hand side, you will see about three-quarters of the way down, it's called Weather Watch. The spiritual leaders of our conference, which actually not just our conference, our union, which includes Arizona, California, Utah, Nevada, Hawaii, and California, have been trying to find ways to connect all of us together as churches and as individuals. And they have called us to come together for a weekend of very special prayer. Now, we here at Point Loma, we pray. Nothing happens around here without prayer. Absolutely nothing. And they are calling us to all unite together as individuals and as collective, as churches, in a weekend, a special prayer, a time of united prayer, and calling us to seek God and to seek the outpouring of His Holy Spirit so that we can be greater, better empowered to spread the good news of salvation. And that starts... That weekend actually would be October 12th through 14th. And I want to call that to your attention because on that particular Sabbath, we'll be having a special worship service. And, of course, our emphasis is going to be on prayer. But I thought it would be good for us to prepare ourselves for that special weekend. And why not start early? And I've been for quite some time studying the Lord's Prayer. I think there's a beautiful, beautiful message in the Lord's Prayer. Not only is there a message, but there's an incredible power in the Lord's Prayer. And so in the next couple of weeks, as we anticipate this special weekend of United Time of Prayer, we're going to be studying and looking at the Lord's Prayer. And as you know, the Lord's Prayer is actually found in two different places in the Bible. One is Matthew chapter 6, and the other one is Luke 11. One, of course, Jesus gave to the people that had gathered around there, the Sermon on the Mount. The other one was to His disciples in private. You know, I love being a father. and it's interesting because my two boys are very different. I love having conversations with those boys. Over the years, as I've mentioned before, I've been the one that had the privilege of taking them to school in the morning and picking them up in the evenings. And those were special times because we spent that time. Sometimes it was 45 minutes, sometimes even an hour, and we got to talk. And as they've gotten older, and of course I've lost that job of taking them to school, our conversations have continued. Their personalities, I've mentioned before, are so very different, and some of you have met both of them. The oldest is sort of a phlegmatic. kind of laid back, you know, life is cool, just take it easy, man. You know, he's kind of laid back. The younger one is very different, much the opposite. He's fired up and buzzing all the time. And it's interesting, when I call them on the phone, this is usually how it goes. You know, I'll give them a call, or I'll receive a call. The phone rings. Hey. That's what I get on the other end of the phone. Hey. And then it's quiet. And I wonder, well, did the line go through? Hello, Rick, are you there? Yeah, Dad, what's up? You know? Or if he calls me, it's the same thing. He'll call me, I'll answer the phone, and I'll hear on the other end, hey. And so we'll have a conversation. He'll talk to me about his car that he's restoring. He'll talk to me about the latest football game that he watched on TV or basketball game that he went to. And we'll chit-chat back and forth, and then eventually we'll hang up. Now, the other one is very different. The other one, the phone will ring. I grab the phone. What's up? Hey, Dad. How you doing, Dad? What's up? Sometimes I get different impersonations of people on the other end of the phone. And so I know immediately, well, okay, that's Ryan. And usually the conversation goes something like this. I'll pick up the phone and I'll get this, what's up? And I'll say, well, what are you doing, Ryan? And then from then on, the conversation pretty much goes like this from my end. Yes. Uh-huh. Wow. That's good. Great. Man, I'm excited for you, Ryan. And he proceeds to tell me all about the latest thing that he's doing, the latest adventure in his life, the latest, I remember in the days when he was big on rollerblading, and, you know, he would tell me all about how high he jumped and how many flips he did in the air and all the cool things he did. And, of course, his brother would say on the other end, and he would say, Dad, you know, about half of that is true. But no, but in his mind, he was having a great time, you know. He was just having a blast, and life is such a great thing, you know. And our conversations are always exciting, and I enjoy the times that we can talk, even, you know, even if it's on the phone. All of this makes me appreciate even more what our Heavenly Father goes through in dealing with me and with you. You see, communication is a major ingredient in any relationship. Whether it's a husband and wife, they got to communicate. Whether it's a parent or a child, communication is very important. If you want to know what's going on in your child's life, you have to ask them sometimes. You have to sit them down in their busy schedules. You have to make sure that the communication lines stay open. Or even friend to friend. Have you ever experienced, have you ever gone through the experience of losing a friend just because you didn't talk? You know, days go by, weeks go by, months go by, and you didn't pick up the phone, or you didn't write a letter, or you didn't chat with them online. And pretty soon years go by and you feel embarrassed. You're almost afraid to meet them or to see them or to hear from them because it's like, wow, you know, they're my friend and here I haven't talked to them for a long time. You still consider them your friend. Have you ever had that experience? I think most of us have. And I think that if we've had that experience, then we truly know how important it is to stay connected on a regular basis. Not just occasionally, but regularly. You know, Jesus understood that principle. And that's why the Bible tells us that he spent time talking to his Father. Spent time away from the crowds, away from the busy schedule that he had, sometimes in the mountains, sometimes in a quiet place, in a secret place. Jesus went and spent time on his knees talking to his Father. If you want some examples of that, we won't go through and read all of them, but in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, we have here that it says that Jesus spent all night, an all-nighter. You ever had an all-nighter talking to a friend of yours or to a parent? I have. I've spent all-nighters with my boys over the years. You know, Jesus spent time talking with his Father. Then also in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, he also prayed and he talked to his Father in public. It also is obvious that as you study the Gospels, you'll discover that repeatedly Jesus was in conversation with his Father in public, but also spontaneously. You know, a lot of times we think that prayer is one of these things that, well, we need to plan it out. You know, we need to, you know, three times a day at a certain time, we need to get on our knees and talk to our Heavenly Father. Well, I don't see that pattern in the life of Jesus. I do see that he spent a lot of time away and secretly talking to his Father. But I also see that Jesus was spontaneous in his conversations and his talking to his Father. You know, in Luke, the ninth chapter, you have here the story, Luke chapter 9, beginning with, Matthew. Helps to get in the right book. Luke chapter 9, verse 28. We have the story of the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus went away into a mountain to talk to his Heavenly Father. And in the process of talking to his Heavenly Father, guess what? Some other people came to talk. And here we have a story, a classic example of what happens or what happened whenever Jesus would go away to pray. The disciples, guess what? Fall asleep. Nice bunch of guys, huh? Jesus goes and he wants to pray. He says, come on, guys, let's go up to the mountain and let's have a prayer meeting. You know, let's talk to my Father. And they get up there and Jesus is praying and the disciples fall asleep. You know, it makes you wonder how strong their prayer life was. Obviously, they did not see it important enough to stay awake and talk. But in this particular case, they were awakened. And, of course, they saw something very beautiful. Jesus was covered by a bright light. And with him was Moses and Elijah. Wouldn't you like to see Moses and Elijah? Wouldn't that be a beautiful experience? And, in fact, this experience was so mind-boggling for them, it says they didn't really talk about it. They went away and didn't say much. They weren't quite sure what exactly to think. It's obvious that just a quick reading through the Gospels, you will discover that Jesus never allowed himself to run on empty. He never allowed a day to go by where he did not seek to have a conversation with his Heavenly Father. And it's interesting because Jesus prayed for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I read that last night and I read it a second time and it was so mind-boggling I had to go back and read it over and over and over again. And what's amazing is often people would say, well, Jesus didn't need the Holy Spirit. He was divine. He was God. Why is Jesus praying for the Holy Spirit? And yet, throughout the Gospels, we find and say, and Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit did this. Or Jesus was filled with the Spirit and he did this and he did that. That term, Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit, is a very interesting term. Did Jesus need the Holy Spirit? What do you think? Yes. It's obvious. It's evident in the Scriptures. Luke chapter 10. Verse 21. Luke chapter 10. I want to start a little bit before that. Because this particular chapter is a story of Jesus sending out the 72 disciples. You say, well, wait a minute, I thought there were only 12 disciples. There's 72. He sent out 72 missionaries. And he told them, I want you to go out and go from village to village, and I want you to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of heaven. And he says, if the village doesn't accept your message, then shake the dust off your feet and go to the next village. And so the disciples, these 72 missionaries, went out from village to village and they proclaimed the kingdom of heaven is near. But not only did they proclaim the good news of the kingdom of heaven, but they also, God gave them the power to heal. So they go out and they preach the good news of the gospel and they heal and they proclaim the coming kingdom. And they come back to Jesus. We'll pick up at verse 17. Listen to this now carefully. The 72 returned with joy. I like the word joy. There's happiness. They returned from their mission experience with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submitted to us. You better read the rest. In your name. Even the demons submitted to us in your name. Bing. Light went on in their head. Suddenly now there's power in the name of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? They're starting to catch on. There's power in the name of Jesus. But what's more interesting to me is the response that Jesus gives to their joy and their happiness and the fact that a light went on in their head. And here's Jesus answered. He replied, I saw Satan fall like a lightning from heaven. What? Why didn't he say, well, great, guys. Wonderful. You finally caught on. Jesus is saying, listen, guys, I was there. He's proclaiming his divinity. Do you catch that? I was there when the star fell from heaven. When Satan fell from heaven, I was there. I saw it with my own eyes. And he goes on to say, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. You see, they've caught on to the fact that there's power in the name of Jesus. But Jesus is saying, okay, guys, you have this power, the Holy Spirit working in you. You have this power to cast out demons. But don't forget, I saw him fall from heaven. I was there when he fell from heaven. In fact, I was the one in the battle that kicked him out of heaven. Satan has no power over you because I have the power. I have the power. I have the victory. It's through me that you have that power. But he goes on, however, do not rejoice that the Spirit submitted to you, but rejoice in what? That your names are written in heaven. You know, they were all hyped up. They were all excited. They're all jumping up and down because they had the power. We've got the power. We've got the power. Guys, we've got the power. We can cast out demons. Jesus, did you know? We've got the power. We can cast out demons. And Jesus says, I know that. I was there when he fell. In fact, I was the one that pushed him out. But don't get too excited about that. Don't get too excited because more important than that is that your name is written in heaven, in the books in heaven. Now, this is just building up for me to the exciting part of this passage of Scripture. Because Jesus has just witnessed the lights coming on in the minds and the heads of 72 of his followers, his disciples. Suddenly they realize there's a connection. They're connecting the dots. Jesus plus the power of the Holy Spirit equals the kingdom of heaven. They suddenly realize. And Jesus gets excited. Now, I really like this. And it said, at that time, Jesus, full of joy, there's that word again, full of joy. You see, joy is catching, isn't it?
You can't be around people that are joyful and happy and have it not rub off on you. Isn't that right? By the way, the opposite is true. People that are grumpy and gripey and crawling around and dragging through life, they're not fun to be around, are they? It's no fun to be around people like that. But when you're around people that are joyful, when you're around people that are filled with joy, you can't help but catch it. And it says here that Jesus, full of joy, through the Holy Spirit, did you hear that? Oh, no, wait a minute. Through the Holy Spirit? Jesus was full of joy through the Holy Spirit? Full of joy. Through the Spirit, he was filled. Jesus, now picture this for a minute. Jesus was filled with the joy. He was so full of joy that he couldn't contain it anymore. Have you ever been so full of joy you can't contain it? You just want to jump up and down? You're so excited that you can hardly wait to share that good news or that happiness or that joy. You want to share it with somebody. You just can't contain yourself. And Jesus is so excited and through the Holy Spirit said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Jesus could not contain the joy. And as a result, he burst out in praise to his Father. Do you catch the sequence here? The disciples come back, the lights go on, the disciples come back, they are jumping for joy, and Jesus sees them jumping for joy. He starts jumping for joy, and in the Holy Spirit, he begins to pray to his Father, and he praises his Father. Now, Jesus could have sat there and said, oh yeah, you see, well, I got the power, guys. Yeah, it's all about me. It's all about me. Yeah, bow down a little bit here. Worship me a little bit. No, Jesus gets caught up in the joy and the excitement and the happiness, and he begins to praise his Father in heaven. Begins to praise his Father in heaven. You know, you can't come to church and sing and hear others sing without eventually opening your mouth and praising your Heavenly Father. You can't do it. It doesn't work. It doesn't work because praise and joy are catching. You know, if you look at this prayer, by the way, this is a prayer. Jesus is praying once again out loud in front of his disciples or the crowd that was there. What incredibly powerful praying that must have been. Jesus is praising the Father with his voice. He's proclaiming him Lord of heaven and earth with his voice. He is acknowledging that God's will has been fulfilled with his voice. He didn't drop to his knees and pray silently and quietly. He lifted up his voice and he praised his Father. That's powerful. That's powerful praying, isn't it? Well, we've already said we know that what got Jesus excited. We know what got Jesus praising his Father. It was that the 72 disciples went out under the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the kingdom of God is near. That's what got him excited. That's what got Jesus so full of joy and under the power of the Holy Spirit began to worship his Father, began to pray to his Father. It was because 72 people went out under the power of the Holy Spirit and proclaimed the kingdom of heaven is near. Wow, that's to me, that is so profound. It's going to keep my head spinning for weeks. I'm going to go back this week. I'm going to spend some more time in that verse. Just that one verse. Somewhere in all that excitement and all that joy, the disciples began to connect the dots. Jesus plus Holy Spirit equals God's kingdom. Somewhere in all that, they figured out that Jesus was tapping into the kingdom power through his prayer life. Now listen to this.
Somewhere in all that, they figured that Jesus was tapping into the kingdom power through his prayer life. What was it through? His prayer life.
But didn't Jesus have power already?
Well, sure, he was God.
But there's more power to be had by tapping in to the power of heaven.
In Luke, the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 1. And you know, this is, I was telling Marty this morning that this is, for some reason, you know, I always read the entire book. I don't just read the one chapter or the one verse that I'm preaching on. I read the whole book. Because these books that were written as letters, and so it's best to read the whole thing. Because there's a flow. The writer has a purpose in what he's saying, and he goes from verse to verse, from chapter to chapter, and it's all flowing along. For some reason, in between this joyous experience that Jesus is having, and he's rejoicing over the fact that the lights came on in the heads of his disciples, they're suddenly connecting the dots, Luke throws in something that I'm not sure why he threw it in there, and I'm going to have to study it more to understand it, but he seems to change gears here, and he starts by telling the parable of the Good Samaritan. And so sandwiched in between this joyous experience and this prayer and the Lord's Prayer is the story of the Good Samaritan. And I'm not even going to go there. Except I want to point one more thing out that connects us with last week's sermon. Remember whenever somebody came to Jesus and asked him a question, what did he do? Have you not read? Don't you study the scriptures? Well, here comes somebody asking Jesus another question. He says, and he answers, what is written in the law? Have you read the law? Anyways, on to chapter 11. They approached Jesus because they sensed that there was a connection. Jesus had a connection with his Father that they wanted to have. And so they saw Jesus praying. Here's Jesus praying again in chapter 11. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. We want some of that, Lord. We want to know, what is that connection you have with your Father? We've seen you pray to your Father before. We've seen you talk to Him in private and in public. You've done it. We want to know what it is, because we sense that there is an incredible power in your life. The prayer life that you sustain is a life that we want. We want to know what it is. We want to know how it is that you pray to your Father. And so Jesus, in chapter 11 of Luke, he said to them, when you pray, and he's saying to you today, Point Loma Seventh-day Adventist Church, the members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Point Loma, the people who are here this morning in attendance, he's saying to you, this is how you pray. Our Father. I'm going to stop there today. Our Father. Do you get the connection there? Are you beginning to connect the dots? Our Father. It's not my Father. It's not your Father. It's our Father. Jesus could have taught them to say, you know, my Father in heaven. He could have taught them to say, Jesus' Father in heaven. But he says, our Father. It's all of us are included. There's a connection. You see, the circuit is completed. The website has been accessed, and the power can now be downloaded. We're all included. Jesus didn't make it some exclusive little group. It's all of us together can claim God as our Father. He is a personal God. Listen to this. He is a personal God, but we do not have exclusive rights to Him. Why? Because He's not privately owned by us. Okay?
Whether we like it or not, He's the God of the universe. He is concerned with all of us, both collectively and individually. And that's why we can say, Our Father. He is our Father because He created us and deeply loves and cares for us. He created us, He deeply loves, and He cares for us. We're related to Him through faith in Jesus Christ. You want the connection? That's it. You are related to Him, the Father in heaven, through faith in Jesus Christ. And all who approach Him in prayer can rest assured that the family ties are secure through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no insecurity there. No need for insecurity. No need for a paternity test. No need for any of that. You're connected through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is secure. That is assurance. That is a fact. That is a done deal. It was completed on the cross for you and for me. And that is why you can say, Our Father. Our Father. Because He loves you. He cares for you. He gave you His only begotten Son so that your salvation could be sure. God bless us as we continue to worship Him.